And good morning. Welcome into In Focus News Radio KMAN on a Monday, February 22nd. And today we are going to spend the next hour talking with Cheryl Collins, Director of the Riley County Historical Museum. Cheryl joins us via Zoom this morning. Good morning, Cheryl.
Good morning.
Pleasure to have you on. We were talking here ahead of the show that I had a nice experience over the weekend. I was actually thinking of the Historical Museum and kind of getting ready for today's interview. And I took a day trip to Emporia to go down and see somebody and kind of just explore the town a little bit. I used to live in Emporia for a little bit, so it was kind of neat to go back and see some things. But driving down, we took 177 through Council Grove and into Northern Lyon County. But then coming back, we went on Highway 99 through the Native Scenic Byway, or Native Stone Scenic Byway. And that was really a fun little trip. And I imagine it's even more beautiful when it's not winter.
Well, I would say that the Native Stone Scenic Byway trip is beautiful all seasons of the year. And you get a real contrast. So going in the winter and then waiting till spring and going in the summer and then the fall, you get really the full spectrum of all the things you can see there. It really is the beautiful drive.
Yeah, I had been from the north. I'd been as far south as Eskridge on 99. And the other direction, I'd been as far north as about Allen, maybe, but had never quite gotten, you know, between there. Yeah, so I completed the trek there, and that was really cool. It was fun to drive through. I saw all the native stone, and, you know, it's a lot of hills and some great views.
Great views. And beautiful colors. Even in the winter, I think you get, I mean, it's different, but some really beautiful colors. And it's a great COVID diversion right now, taking a little drive out. I think it can help break up the monotony of life. And then when things are back in the swing and people feel comfortable going places, there's some great places to visit along the Native Stone Scenic Byway. The Alma Museum, Wabansee County Historical Society Museum in Alma. There's a great cafe in Dover, which I understand has great pie, which I have on my list to go visit. So there's lots of places along there, too. So you can do it as just strictly drive, or you can go visit things.
Yeah. Well, it's really neat that that exists. And I was flabbergasted because I was heard of the name there. But then to see the stone on the side of the road and to educate my wife and my kids, like, hey, I know about this. I've learned about this through the radio. And it's kind of just a neat little experience for the whole family.
Well, the Flint Hills has plenty of stone. And, of course, the government at one period encouraged the building of stone fences. So we got a lot of really nice stone fences. And one of the things the Native Stone Scenic Byway has done is try to find ways to preserve those fences, rebuild the ones that are, you know, occasionally they'll come down, especially if the end gets damaged or isn't in good condition, that'll make the rest of the fence start breaking down. So the group has worked on trying to keep those there. They really are fun to look at.
Yeah, it's really neat. And just I thought I'd share that. I thought that was a fun little experience over the weekend. And it kind of goes into our theme for today's topic, which is a self-guided driving tour. I understand you guys have kind of some neat places from African-American history, which is fitting for the month of February.
African-American history in Manhattan and Riley County is really, really interesting and really important part of our history. And we do have this driving tour on our website, www.rileycountyks.gov/museum. So just go to the Riley County website, look up Historical Museum, and it's right on our front page. So this is a great COVID diversion. Again, you can just drive around and you don't have to be close to people, but you have something different to do. I want to mention, I'm not an expert on African American history. I consider myself more of a student and explorer. But as I mentioned, Riley County African American history is fascinating, and we have lots of terrific history. So it's been fun looking into this.
Yeah, and you know, the guided tour, it's not just Manhattan sites. There's some places across the area, right?
The one on our website, we focused on Manhattan, and it's a pretty self-contained thing, so it doesn't take you real long to go through it, and you can start at any point. Where it starts on the website, of course, is the Riley County Historical Museum, and we'd love to have folks come in and visit here if they are here while we're open. And of course, we're at 2309 Claflin Road. We're open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturdays and Sundays, 2 to 5. Goodnow House State Historic Site, which is on the tour because of Goodnow's work as an abolitionist. He also was participated in the Underground Railroad here in Riley County. So his house right next to the Riley County Museum is on the site on the driving tour. And it's open, the Goodnow House is open Saturdays and Sundays 2 to 5. And then anytime the Riley County Historical Museum is open and we have staff available, which is most of the time, or folks can call ahead at 785-565-6490 and make sure. And that's one of the first stops on the driving tour. However, you can start anywhere you want to along the route and just go at your own route.
All right. Well, that's cool to see. And there's quite a few different sites. So we want to talk about a few of them here.
Yeah, that sounds good. One of them that I think is particularly interesting is the Bethel African Methodist Episcopal Church, or the AME Church. And that church, which is at the corner of 4th and Yuma, was founded in 1879. And 1879 is an extremely important date in Riley County history because that's the year that the Exodites came to Riley County. And I wanna mention that there is an absolutely terrific book by Marcia Shuley and Margaret Parker that talks about the Exodites coming to Riley County and talks about African-American families in Riley County, published by the Riley County Genealogical Society. But the Exodites were African-Americans that came out of the South in 1879, 1880, and came to Kansas. There were around 20,000 people that just picked up and left and came to Kansas. They first hit St. Louis and overwhelmed that city. So that city made arrangements to have steamboats take folks to Atchison and Wyandotte and pretty much overwhelmed those cities. And then the Governor St. John of Kansas, established a committee to try to figure out how they could help these folks and how they could get them moved to homes in Kansas where they could establish homes and jobs. And so he talked the railroad into allowing the Exodites to go to any Kansas town that would accept them. And Manhattan was one of the first towns that said, yes, we will accept Exodites. And about 150 people came to Manhattan. So that about doubled the population of African Americans in Manhattan. And a lot of the descendants of those families that came in 1879, 1880 here in Manhattan today. So it really is an important date. Quickly after those folks came to Manhattan, they established the Bethel African Methodist Episcopal Church. And the building that's there now at 4th and Yuma was built in 1927. And it is on the National Register of Historic Places. But I think it's really interesting. And one of the stories, that there's lots of interesting folks that were connected with the establishment of that church and of course, clear up to the present day. But one of the families I think that was most interesting was that of Henry McDaniel. Henry McDaniel was born into slavery in Virginia. And he was sold to a family in Tennessee when he was about 10 years old. And it was in Tennessee that he met and married Susan Holbert. Their first son, Hosea, was born in Tennessee. So the McDaniel family joined that exodus out of the South in 1879 or early 1880. And in the spring of 1880, the McDaniel family and Susan McDaniel's brothers, Aaron and Nicholas Holbert, moved to Manhattan. Times were really hard in Kansas for jobs, and also especially for the Exodites, and especially so for Henry McDaniel, because he'd been injured serving in the Civil War. And so he was unable to work some of the time because of his injuries. So jobs were scarce. And then if you had an injury, that made it even harder. There was also a lot of sickness. And their oldest son, Hosea, died and was buried in the Potter's Field in Manhattan Sunset Cemetery. About 1885, the McDaniels decided to move to a place that would give them better employment opportunities. And first they moved briefly to Baxter Springs, and then they moved to Wichita, Kansas. And of course, Wichita, Kansas in the 1880s was a boom town. So job opportunities were there. And Wichita is where Hattie McDaniel was born in 1893. When she was five, the family moved to Denver, Colorado. And that's where Hattie and a number of her siblings first got into show business. They performed in Colorado, Kansas City, Chicago, and on a circuit all around. In 1911, Hattie married Howard Hickman, who had family ties in Manhattan. But sadly, Howard died in 1915. By 1931, Hattie had a sister and a brother who were working in Hollywood, and Hattie decided to join them. She had success in radio and film, but her big break came with the movie Gone with the Wind. And for her 1939 role as Mammy in Gone with the Wind, Hattie McDaniel received an Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor, and she was the first African-American to receive an Oscar. So even though it was hard for African-American performers to get good roles, Hattie maintained a successful career in radio and film until her death in 1952. And I think it's interesting that in January 2006, the United States Postal Service issued a stamp in honor of Hattie McDaniel, who almost was a Manhattanite, I think. So it's too bad for us that her family moved to Wichita before she was born. We could claim her for a Manhattanite, but there's strong family ties between her family and here.
I see.
So that's one of the interesting stories along the way.
I see that about 2010, she was inducted into the Colorado Women's Hall of Fame. I wonder if they would ever consider doing that here in Kansas, since her family was from here. Maybe that'd be a possibility.
That's a really interesting question. She was really a groundbreaker in acting for African Americans in Hollywood and in radio. She had quite a successful career. So there's a lot of interesting stops along the way. Another of the interesting places, I think, is Marlette's house. And Washington Marlette was part of the Underground Railroad. And the house that he lived in while he was doing Underground Railroad work, and of course, Underground Railroad is the network of people and places who would help the enslaved trying to get away from slavery, help them up north where they could escape slavery. So Washington Marlette was one of those folks that participated in the Underground Railroad here in Riley County. And his house is still standing on College Avenue, just south of the K-State soccer fields. And that house is the oldest house in its original location in Manhattan. It was built in 1856 by Davies Wilson. And Davies Wilson is a whole interesting other story. He was a Cincinnati man, connected with the Cincinnati and Kansas Land Company, I believe, came out here, was a surveyor, was a big property owner in a lot of places, eventually went back to Cincinnati. And when he died, his widow left a sizable bequest to Kansas State, and that money was eventually used to build the K-State President's House. So that's why the President's House is on Wilson Court. So that's the connection with Marlette's house. Marlette's barn, which is just behind the house on College there, is built of the stone that was salvaged from the original Bluemont Central College building. And of course, Bluemont Central College is the Methodist school. It was founded in 1858 and given lock, stock, and barrel to the state of Kansas in 1863 when Kansas State Agricultural College was established as the first land-grant college in the United States. There are other land-grant colleges that can make the claim of first, but we have a really good reason to be able to claim that. So I'll say that. So when they tore down the original building, the Bluemont Central College building, which was originally located on the corner of College and Claflin, Central National Bank's there today, and there's a big red rock commemorating where that building was. They tore it down in the 1880s, and Washington Marlette salvaged that stone, built his barn. And originally, the letters that said Bluemont College were on the barn, but eventually K-State salvaged those from Marlette's property and put them in the Farrell Library. And today, those letters are in the K-State Alumni Building there on Anderson. And folks are allowed to go in and take a look at them. So if you've never done that, that's a really fun thing to do. So that property, I think, is really pretty special in that it has contemporarily noted Underground Railroad activity. The late Richard Pitts, who founded Wonder Workshop, of course, did a lot of research on Underground Railroad, not only in Riley County, but in this whole area. And so I want to credit the work that he did on all of that history.
All right. Yeah, good stuff. And really fun to kind of learn more about African-American history here in our community. Let's take a break and come back and discuss more with Riley County Historical Museum Director Cheryl Collins. You're listening to In Focus on KMAN.